This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wahdah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحج أشهر معلومات صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are in the time of the year where we are aware that there are certain important days and certain important occasions on us at this particular time. Tomorrow the Hujjaj would be in Arafah, today they are in Mina. And when we look at Arafat, it's important for us to perhaps concentrate today's khutbah with regard to Arafah. And there are many aspects with regard to Arafah that we could concentrate on and we could reflect upon. Firstly, the word Arafah means recognition. So in one of the tafsirs, Tafsir al-Mazhari, mention is made that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saw three times a dream. He saw a dream that he was sacrificing and slaughtering his son. So he saw it on the eve of the night of the 8th of Zulhijjah. And that he started reflecting what is the meaning of this dream. And the 8th of Zulhijjah is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day of reflection. Today is the day of Tarwiyah for the people in Mina. So it's a day of reflection. Then he saw the same dream on the eve of the night, on the night of the 9th of Zulhijjah. He saw the same dream. And this time he recognized that this is the meaning and this is the message of Allah that I must carry out this task. So therefore the meaning, the Arafah means recognition. Ibrahim alayhi salam recognized the meaning of Allah Ta'ala's message. And then he saw the dream again on the 10th of the night of the 10th, which of course is Yawm al-Nahr. And the next day he went out to carry out that particular command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him in the dream. So the word Arafah means recognition. The recognition of Allah. Or the recognition which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Together with that, Arafah has got many other virtues. One of the great virtues of Arafah is it is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the tawbah of our forefather, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So it was on the plains of Arafah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the tawbah of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam after his coming out of Jannah. But of course, we are all aware that the greatest aspect of Arafah is the day of Arafah. And the day of Arafah is the most, perhaps one of the most blessed days in the year. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, there is no other day in the calendar year in which shaitan is more humiliated than on the day of Arafah. Now obviously when the Hujjaj would be in Arafah, those who have been for Hajj, there is a yearning that hope we could have been there. And sometimes in that yearning, if we do have that yearning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to Tabuk, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a hadith, which is a very amazing hadith. Ma salakna shu'ba wala wadiyan. You do not cross a valley or a mountain. But there are people who are in Medina who get the same reward you are getting. Habisahumul udha. Because of valid reasons, they can't come to this particular expedition and this jihad. But they wanted to come. They wanted to come. Because they wanted to come, every valley, every mountain you cross, they get the same reward. So if our yearning is there, oh Allah, we hope we can be with the people in Mina today. We could have been with the people in Arafah today. Allah will give us the reward. And sometimes rewards are also amazing. There is a very interesting incident which no less an authority that Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has made mention in Bidaya wa Nihaya, and Qazi Ayaz, the author of Shifa, has made mention of this hadith. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi used to love going for Hajj. He used to love going for Hajj. So one day he was going for Hajj with his whole kafla, with his whole entourage. When he came to a particular place, when he saw an amazing incident, he saw someone picking up a dead chicken from the place where people leave their refuse. So he saw a Muslim girl dressed in a modest way, picking up a dead chicken. So he told someone, go and find out why did she pick up a dead chicken when it is haram. So he came back with a report that this woman, this girl said that we have not eaten for so many days. We are on the verge of starvation. It is permissible for us to take this. Our father was a wealthy man. He passed away and the people usurped his wealth. And therefore we are on the verge of starvation. Therefore we picked up this particular chicken. And therefore we are eating it because we are muftar. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi got the entourage together and said, whatever we had collected for this year's Hajj, take that money and give it to this poor family. They left their Hajj and they gave it to that poor family. Then when the people and the Hujjaj came back, they told Abdullah ibn Mubarak, oh ibn Mubarak, Mubarak to you for your Hajj. We saw you in Mina. We saw you in Arafat. We saw you here. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi was amazed. He said that Allah, I did not go for Hajj. And he saw a dream, or someone saw a dream, he related to him. He said, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, because of this incident of yours, this great deed of yours of helping a poor person and helping a poor family, Allah Ta'ala deputed an angel to make Hajj on your behalf. So sometimes good deeds, we think of good deeds only in one sense. Allah Ta'ala conceals the rewards of good deeds in so many occasions that we have an opportunity to perform good deeds. Then of course, one of the great aspects with regard to Arafah is our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's khutbah at the time of Arafah, you know, known as the farewell sermon. You know, Arafah is Arafah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said in the hadith, no other day in which shaitan is more humiliated than the day of Arafah, when he sees Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's mercy coming down. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when Allah Ta'ala sees the people of Arafah in Arafah, he boasts about them in front of the angels. Oh my angels, unzuru ila zuwari bayti. Oh my angels, look at the people who have come to visit me in the Baytullah. Ja'uni shu'than ghubara. They come to me with ihram, not their normal clothes, not with their kanduras, not with their fancy kurtas, or their suit and ties, or with their track suits. No, no, they come to me with ihram. Ja'uni shu'than ghubara. They come to me in dirt, in disheveled hair. Their hair is not combed. Oh my malaika. Look at these people. What should I do with them? As if Allah Ta'ala is saying, I want to forgive them. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahmatullahi, one of our great scholars, says that the blessedness of Arafah is not only confined to the people of Arafah. Allah Ta'ala emancipates people from the fire of Jahannam, those who are in Arafah and those who are not in Arafah. Provided you show some sort of dua for that, on that particular day you make dua, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala bless you, you know. So this is the day of Arafah. Then on the day of Arafah, one of the great things that have happened in our history is the farewell sermon, the khutbah of Hajjatul Wida. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the farewell sermon. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came for his one and only Hajj. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with 124,000 companions. What many a times people do not know is, many of those people who came for Hajj never saw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before that. They became Muslims in their different places, in their different regions. They heard Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going for Hajj and they started joining and they came to see Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's a Sahabi by the name of Nudayd ibn Shurayt. He said, I came to Arafah and I never saw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, mounted his camel, Qaswa, and he was giving his sermon. He said, I went with my father and my uncle. And my father and my uncle said, oh Nudayd. He said, I was young. He said, there is the beloved of Allah. There is Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many a times, the first time the people saw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And just imagine the situation. Many of them just became Muslims. They never saw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had indicated that he is going to depart from the world very soon. He told the people, learn from me the rites of Hajj, you might not get an opportunity again. So in many ways, this was the culmination. This was the time where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could put forward concepts. to this great amount of people who have come to see Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the first time, to hear Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the first time. What does Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam choose? What concepts does he choose to convey to those over 100,000 people? And may we be sacrificed upon our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every particular advice he gave in the khutbah of Hajjatul Wida is appropriate for the occasion. It's appropriate to this particular, this background which I have made mention. First time people are coming to see him. It is like a farewell, advice. What does he choose? What concepts does he choose? Let us look at some of those concepts. I don't go into every aspect, and a very important clarification. Because, Hajjatul Wida, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave many sermons. He gave a sermon on Mina, he gave in Arafat, he gave afterwards when the people came back from Arafat. So sometimes there could be a situation where some of the advisors could be duplicated or could be in this place. But the fuqa, the muhaddithin, they say that these are the advisors Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave at the farewell Hajj. And many of them were in Arafah. And the first thing Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, Asa Allah talqani ba'da aami hadha. O people, listen to me what I'm going to tell you. Perhaps you will never hear from me again. Now when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said these words, we can imagine what an impact it had upon the people. Because they loved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And here Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, hear from me, listen from me. Perhaps you might not get an opportunity to hear from me again. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, first thing he said, individual responsibility. Individual responsibility. He said, one day you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will answer about your deeds. So therefore, do not go astray from the path of righteousness after I have gone. And while I'm here, I will be able to give you the path of righteousness. I will be able to guide you. And after I have gone, I'm going to leave two things for you. As long as you remain steadfast upon those two things, you will never go astray. The Kitab of Almighty Allah and my Sunnah. So the first thing that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught the people in the khutbah of Hajjatul Wida was individual responsibility. You are going to answer to Allah Ta'ala about your deeds. And brothers, I normally tell people this. When you're going to answer to Allah, you're going to come to Allah Ta'ala alone. And Allah has made mention of this fact many a times in the Quran. وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Seventh Supara of the Quran. You will come to Allah alone the way you were born alone. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Each and everyone is going to come to Allah Ta'ala individually. There you can't say, this alim had a misunderstanding. He had a difference of opinion and they were fighting. And therefore I was not worried. And because of that I was not inspired. No such excuses. You are going to answer to Allah Ta'ala about your deeds alone, one to one. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Allah, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us about individual responsibility on the khutbah of Hajjatul Wida. Then our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said an amazing thing. He said, O people, each and every one of you regard certain things as sacred. You regard the city of Makkah as sacred. You regard the month of Zulhijjah as sacred. You regard this day as sacred. And who does not regard the day of Arafah as sacred? Who does not regard the month of Zulhijjah as sacred? Who does not regard the city of Makkah and the environments of the Haram as sacred? Then after realizing and tell them that these things are sacred, then he diverted their attention towards something that is as, if not more sacred. I want you to listen to this. Everyone says that Makkah is sacred. Everyone says the day of Arafah is sacred. Everyone says the month of Zulhijjah is sacred. But what did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? The blood, the honor, and the wealth of a Muslim is more sacred than this particular month, this particular day, this particular place. Can you imagine? One day Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, a hadith in Jami al-Tirmidhi, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was making tawaf, yatufu bil baytil, bi baytillah. And he looked up at the haram, and he looked up at the Kaaba and Baytullah. And what did he say? Ya Allah, ma atyabak, wa atyaba rihak, wa ma azamak. How great are you, O Kaaba and Baytullah? How great is your sacredness? How great are you? But I take an oath in the beings in whose life Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life is, the honor, the blood of a mu'min is more sacred than the Kaaba and the Baytullah. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one hadith says, Maluhu hurmatu milkillah malihi wa damihi wa anta zunnu bihi illa khaira. And you only think good about your Muslim brother. You only think good about your Muslim brother. And we know today, what is our situation with regard? Zunnu bil mu'minina khaira. Under the ayat, lawla itsami'tumuhu zanna al mu'minuna wal mu'minatu bi anfusihim khaira. About the waqia of if, about the rumor about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah ta'ala says, why didn't the believers, when they heard the rumor say, that we are supposed to have a good opinion about our own people, about the mu'mineen. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes in this ayat, under this ayat, to have a good opinion about a Muslim brother is faraz, wajib. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala wrote unto his son Muhammad al-Hanafiyya, and I just wrote this down, where he had made mention, do not allow mistrust and suspicion to overwhelm you, or else it will create a rift for reconciliation between you and your Muslim brother. The Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about Muslim brotherhood, and he spoke about that the Muslim person's honor, his wealth, and his blood is as sacred, if not more sacred, than the Kaaba, Baytullah, than Arafat, and the day of, and the month of Zulhijjah, and the environments of the Haram. Then our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala has forbidden to you to take usury and riba. He has forbidden for you to take usury and riba. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam can continue and said, the capital that you have given is yours. Allah Ta'ala does not wrong anyone. If you have given anyone a loan, you are entitled to your capital, but you can't take more than that. And then look at the beauty of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, The first interest I waive is that of my uncle Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, people were owing him interest at a great amount of level, great amount of wealth. And he said, the first thing I waive, and this is an example. When you want to be an example, you want to be a believer, you don't only talk about it, you show it by your example. And this is what our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the first interest I waive is that of my uncle. I read somewhere, I heard from some alim, he said, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because of that sacrifice, and one riwayat made mention, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was not aware of it. So when he came to know about it, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I even waive and I even forgive the original amount. And because of this, it's not something that is, you know, 100% concrete, but there is a point. Ulama have made mention that because of this, for 500 years, the family of Abbas ruled the world. The Abbasid Khilafat came from where? From Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Some ulama said because of his sacrifice. 500 years, his family ruled the world. So then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and interest, my dear respected brothers, there is no deed in the Holy Quran. There is one in the Hadith. Man adha li waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harb. He who inconvenienced a saint of mine, I declare war against him. But in the Quran, there is only one deed where Allah Ta'ala has made mention of war against a person. And that is for taking interest. I don't have the time to go into it. One day, if Allah Ta'ala give us, I'll make mention with regard to the harms of interest. So our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mention of personal responsibility. Then he made mention with regard to the rights of Muslim brotherhood. Then he made mention with regard to our financial discipline, with regard to our wealth. You know, so this, and there are many, many reasons why Allah Ta'ala has made interest haram. So just to give an example, when Allah Ta'ala made interest haram, the Quraysh of Makkah, they objected. بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْءُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. They say, why did Allah Ta'ala make interest haram when interest is just like trade? There are many differences between trade and interest. But when Allah Ta'ala replied to the objection, he just said one word. أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءُ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. I have made trade halal and I have made riba haram. I am the Lord of the world. I am the most wise. I know why I have made it haram. When I've made it haram, there are reasons why I've made it haram. Stay away from it. So that is what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about racial discrimination. And he said, O people, each and every one of you is from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. You come from one stock. لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا عجمي على عربي. There is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab and vice versa. No superiority of the white over the black or the black over the white. Each and every one of you start off in an equal footing. Except the person who surges ahead, not on the basis of his ethnicity, his tribe, or the color of his skin, or the amount of wealth he has, but on the basis of his conduct and his character and his taqwa and his piety. The first time human being heard about the aspect of racial discrimination from our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in such an explicit and clear way, long before certain speeches became famous, Martin Luther King's famous speech, "I have a dream. I have a dream that my children would grow up in a country that they will not be judged by the color of the skin, but they will be judged by the content of their character." Long before that, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention with regard to it. Brothers, racial discrimination is such an evil, that a person who has this, he implies that Allah Ta'ala made a mistake in his creation. When a person says that a person is inferior, what does it mean? You say Allah Ta'ala made a mistake in his creation. That is the meaning of racial discrimination. And Al-Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about it in the Hajjatul Wida. Then our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also spoke about family life. And of course, family life starts off from husband and wife. And our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the rights of the husband, rights of the wife. And then our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because many a times, and this is the general principle in our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sermons and his advisors, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always took the part and spoke more about those who are vulnerable. And in a marriage, women are more vulnerable than men. So sometimes whenever you hear spousal abuse, although it happens to men, although they won't admit it, but when you talk about spousal abuse, what does it mean? Normally you talk about a husband abusing the wife because Allah Ta'ala has given him greater physical strength. Therefore, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he didn't forget the rights of women, even in the celebrated khutbah. And he said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَىٰ. Fear Allah with regard to your woman. Fear Allah with regard to your woman. فَإِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُهُنَّ بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. They came into your nikah with Allah's words. How did they come into your nikah? The Mawlana said, Alhamdulillahi wahda, Alhamdulillahi nahmadu wa nasta'inu. He took Allah Ta'ala's word and then he made your nikah. So they became into your nikah with Allah's words. Take Allah into consideration when you deal with her. He made mention with regard to the rights of women. And there are many other things. And then one of the things he said is, Ala falyuballighu shahid minkum al-ghaib. That those who are present here, they must take this message of mine to those who are not present. So he gave us a responsibility of da'wah. How far we are doing it is something that you and I must consider. The Sahaba did it. Kuthum bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was buried in Samarkand. I went to go and see his qabr in Samarkand in Uzbekistan. He took Allah Ta'ala's message. You and I are here for over centuries. How much have we shared the message of Allah Ta'ala to the indigenous people of this country? When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take this message of mine to those people who are not present. And then our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at his personal responsibility. How much of concern he had about his personal responsibility. He asked and he told the people and he said, you will be asked about me on the day of Qiyamah. You will be asked about me on the day of judgment. You will be asked, did I fulfill? Qad ballaghtu. Did I fulfill and did I proclaim Allah's message to you? Did I proclaim Allah's message to you? Qad ballaghtu. Did I proclaim Allah's message to you? And then he asked the entire gathering, 124,000 people. Normally Sahaba, whenever Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked them anything, normally they say, Allah wa Rasulu Alam. Allah and his Rasul knows best. Allah knows the wisdom. That particular day, they replied, and they didn't only reply, they replied with four sentences. إِنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةِ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَنَا أَمَانَةِ وَنَسَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ وَكَشَفْتَ الْغُمَّةِ. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, we bear testimony that you have fulfilled and proclaimed and have reached out and given us Allah's message. And you have fulfilled your responsibility and your amanat. وَنَسَحْتَ الْغُمَّةِ. And you have given us the best of advice and you have removed and dispelled darkness. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took up his finger, shahadat finger, and he lifted up towards his head, the heaven, and he said, Allahumma shahad. Allahumma shahad. Oh Allah, bear witness that I have fulfilled my responsibility. Bear witness I have fulfilled my responsibility. The responsibility he has fulfilled, have we fulfilled our responsibility? And then on that particular time, on that very same day, after Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse which one day a Jewish person told Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, you have a verse in the Holy Quran that if that verse were to be revealed to us, we would have celebrated it and we would have made it a day of celebration. We would have made it a day of Eid. So Umar said, which verse are you referring to? He said, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa radhitu lakum al-Islam deena. On this day we have completed our favors upon you. We have completed and perfected religion for you. And we have chosen and we have liked Islam as a religion for you. The Jewish person told Umar radiallahu anhu this. Umar said, do you know that was Eid upon Eid? That day was Eid upon Eid. Firstly, it was a Friday when Nabi Karim ﷺ made Hajjatul Wida, and that day of Arafah was a Friday. Then it was the day of Arafah. And then it was the most Mubarak time in the day after Asr. It was Eid upon Eid upon Eid. That is also such a great ni'mat. Allah has given us a religion which Allah perfected for us, Allah chose for us. Brothers, this is just some of the aspects that we have spoken about Arafah. I started off by saying, what is the origin of the word of Arafah? Allah Ta'ala accepted the Tawbah of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in Arafah, made mention of the virtue and how Allah Ta'ala forgives people on the day of Arafah, not only confined to the people of Arafah, but for the entire Ummah, and then spoke about the aspects of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's farewell sermon in Arafah, known as Hajjatul Khutbah, the sermon of the farewell of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose concepts and chose teachings and message that were so relevant for that particular occasion, for that particular time, and for the ummah till the day of Qiyamah. May Allah give you a tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.